I thought this was between you and us.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. When I say Swiss bank, you probably think secrecy. Discretion has been a banking tradition in Switzerland since the Middle Ages. But as part of its legal settlement with the U.S. government, Swiss banking giant UBS has agreed to pull back that curtain as early as today. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
Switzerland's biggest bank, UBS, has settled a long-running tax case with the U.S. authorities. The bank admits that it helped wealthy American customers hide their money from the IRS. The bank is paying $780 million in penalties, and reports say the bank will identify 250 Americans with undeclared accounts. Jeff Goldfarb is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says this is a major breakthrough in the battle against tax evasion.
It is sort of a big chunk of 250 names at once. That is substantial in the context of secrecy in Switzerland and banking.
Nevertheless, U.S. tax officials have some way to go. They claim that 17,000 Americans have stashed a total of $20 billion in undeclared accounts at UBS. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Maybe settling that tax case will free up UBS to focus on the credit fallout. The bank's stock is trading up around 2% in Switzerland at this hour. European markets are generally mixed, as were Asian markets today. The Bank of Japan left its key interest rate down at 0.1%. The bank says it will buy $10 billion in corporate bonds and buy up even more commercial paper as Japan faces its worst recession in decades. Wall Street stocks were essentially flat yesterday. The Dow closed up 3 points at 7,555. It had looked like Hewlett-Packard was one of the few companies surviving the recession in decent shape. Well, forget that. After the bell yesterday, the computer giant cut its revenue outlook. HP now expects revenue to fall as much as 5% from last year. Retail sales have been tanking, of course, and that is just hollowing out America's shopping malls. Right now in Washington, D.C., the shopping center industry is holding a conference on its future. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite has that.
Shopping centers can't get credit the way they used to. And if a tenant has left and the shopping center can't borrow money, it's a problem. Erin Hershkowitz is spokesperson for the International Council of Shopping Centers.
So when stores close, there's no way of renovating that spot, you know, or changing the composition of it to fit maybe multiple tenants.
Jonathan Plotkin, a partner in real estate developer the Jaffe Companies, believes many more stores will shut this year. And even the ones that are doing okay aren't expanding much as consumers hold back.
That often can mean that retailers who were interested in signing leases in shopping centers, all of a sudden, instead of 50 stores next year, they may be down to 10 stores for next year.
He says many shopping centers are approaching local parks departments, kiddie gymnasiums, and private companies. The message? There's space up for grabs at the mall. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Say goodbye to Countrywide. By the time Bank of America bought the mortgage lender last year, it had become synonymous with reckless lending.
A growing family with a lot of debt. A young couple with no down payment. A business owner whose income was hard to document. Every one of them was turned down for a home loan by three different lenders. I'm with Countrywide, and I got them all approved.
That was an actual Countrywide TV ad. You can see why B of A thinks an image change is in order. By the end of April, the Countrywide name will disappear and become Bank of America Home Loans.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
During the great bull market of the last decade, an ocean of hedge fund money poured through Greenwich, Connecticut. Real estate in that town was transformed. Marketplace's Amy Scott took a drive with a Greenwich real estate agent who thrived as the tide of money rose and who is now watching it fall.
Stephen Greenbush picks me up in a black Audi convertible. He's got a Bluetooth headset clamped to his ear. Greenbush works for C.B. Richard Ellis, helping financial firms lease office space. He's been in real estate for 15 years, but when hedge fund money started flowing into Greenwich, he decided to specialize in meeting their needs.
It was very good for my business personally, for the brokerage business, for the construction business, for the office furniture business, for the architectural business and the legal business. It helped everybody. These companies brought big money, they spent big money, they lived big, they ate at big restaurants and had big parties and bought expensive cars. It was good for everyone.
Now everyone in Greenwich is feeling the loss of a lot of that money, particularly anyone involved in real estate. Greenbush drives me by one building recently vacated by a now defunct hedge fund.
So the building went from 100% occupied to 50% occupied. Additional sublease space hits the market.
And that's driving rents down. Just months ago, Greenbush was doing deals for upwards of $130 a square foot. That rivals Manhattan prices. But as hedge funds have lost money and laid off workers, they're unloading commercial space and willing to take less for it.
We can talk about 20 or 30% reductions.
That means lower fees for agents like Greenbush. He's making less money now. But all the fees he collected doing hedge fund deals paid for the house he built a few years ago. And he knows almost anywhere else in the world he'd be considered quite well off.
Here's the thing with these hedge funds. You become so jaded. You think if you make six figures for a living, you're poor. You think if you don't live in a 5,000 square foot house, you're not successful. It's a different world, Greenwich.
It's a place Greenbush thinks will always attract business, partly for its proximity to New York. And he's already seeing some startups sniffing around the empty space. He's seen these cycles before. 10 years ago, Greenbush specialized in office space for dot-coms. In Greenwich, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
In case you missed Amy's walk down Greenwich Avenue yesterday, that's at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.